Is weight training on your to-do list, but somehow you still haven't gotten around to getting started? I get it. It's intimidating. It's stepping out of your comfort zone. But wouldn't it be great to finally do it and start looking and feeling younger and stronger? I have the answer for you. My new Strong for Summer group coaching program. I've got 6 spaces in this unique 8-week weight training Kickstarter where I'm going to be helping you get started weight training either at home or the weight room, your choice, so you can get stronger in time for summer. If you're interested in learning more, reach out to me in Instagram in my DMs or send me an email at lynn@befitafter40.com. The information is in the show notes. Welcome to 40 Plus Fitness for Women, the show where we talk about all things fitness related to women in midlife who are going through the menopause transition or have gone through the menopause transition or are preparing to go through the menopause transition. And actually today we are going to be talking about perimenopause and menopause directly, which is something we haven't tackled before on the podcast. So we'll be going into that, what they mean, what you can expect, how your body changes with age, and also about how weight training keeps us young, and a little bit also about how to get started with weight training. So pulling this whole picture together, kind of explaining why the heck I'm here, you know, on my soapbox talking about weight training for middle-aged women all the time. So let's get started. So first of all, a few definitions. What is menopause? And I'm going all the way to this level because even though I'm 52 and post-menopause, and so I actually went through menopause in my mid-40s, I kind of knew that I was going through menopause because the doctors had told me that, but I had no idea what that really meant. I didn't know the definitions of anything, and I kind of went through it completely in the dark. And I am hoping that other women don't have to suffer the way I did. So that's why I'm going to go all the way to the basics and go through it. Let's start with some definitions. So menopause is actually a single day. So that is the day when you haven't had your period for 12 months. So if you haven't had your period for 11 months and, you know, whatever, 20 days, and then you have your period, well, guess what? The counting starts back at zero again. And you can expect in those last months, even in the last years, before you actually finally hit that menopause day, that your cycles may be very irregular. In fact, that time before your menopause day is called perimenopause. And that's 4 to 10 years before the menopause day when you experience symptoms. Or it could be that you don't really experience symptoms. One of my best friends, she didn't have any symptoms really. Okay, a tiny bit of hot flushes, and that's it. So she went through it with no problem at all. And then other women have, you know, a huge array of symptoms. So it really varies. And then postmenopause is the time after that one day of menopause for the rest of your life. So what's really interesting is how little this is actually talked about. When you consider that the average lifespan of a woman is about 82 years. So this, I took a few big countries, UK, US, and actually the country I live in, which is Finland, and took the average there. And the average lifespan of a woman is about 82 years. And the average time when a woman goes through menopause is at about age 50. And if you think that there's still a big range of when women can start menopause, it could be, you know, much earlier than that. Like me, I went through menopause at 45. Somebody else might be even earlier in their 40s than that. And then So if you think about like that early range, the ones who go through hit menopause in their early 40s, well, let's say they've been going through perimenopause for the 10 years before that. It means that perimenopause already started in their mid 30s. Okay. So, and assuming that they got their period somewhere around age 15, so that may mean that they had like 20 years of their life that they were in quote unquote childbearing years. Of course, at 15, we're hoping nobody's having kids, but you get my point. And then they start going into perimenopause at, let's say, age 35, and then they live to be 82. That means that actually the majority of their life, their adult life, they are spending in the menopause, perimenopause space. So given that, it is pretty amazing how little information is shared even among women, you know, going through menopause. So yeah, hopefully that will improve by the time our daughters are going through menopause. I certainly have started educating my 17-year-old already. She's like, thanks, mom. But yeah, because you can be kind of blindsided by the whole thing. But so if you think about like the average age to hit menopause is 50. Some people also hit it later. I have several of my friends who are already past 50 and are in perimenopause, but still getting their periods every now and again. So, but most of them are experiencing symptoms, actually all of them. The one that I mentioned earlier who hadn't had any symptoms except for a little bit of hot flashes, she's already in menopause. Anyway, so what are these symptoms I keep mentioning? So common symptoms vary really widely between women. And so I will just list off some of them. Some that are really well known are hot flashes or hot flushes, I guess, in the UK, and night sweats. Then there you may get headaches. You may have urinary tract infections or bladder issues. Irregular periods and heavy periods. I remember for me, I had, oh my God, such heavy periods towards the end that it was like I had to be using maximum protection of all sorts and go change all those maximum protections, you know, more frequently than every hour. No, like I could not go to an exercise class because I couldn't make it through the hour without having to go swap protection. It was really, it was weird. Anyway, also some women experience hair loss. This is something I definitely experienced. It was traumatic. I think that was the most traumatic. Well, okay. Some of the other things are also traumatic, but the hair loss, you know, because your hair is kind of like, yeah, at least for me, I've got long hair. Well, it's still thin. It's definitely like half the thickness that it was back before I went through the menopause transition. But at that point where I was experiencing the bad hair loss, it was like I was having balding patches. And I really had to pay attention, even if I pulled my hair in a ponytail, to make sure that all of the patches that were, you know, very thin were covered. So I was doing like a little bit of a comb back, but women's version of that. It was awful. I actually did go see like a wig specialist. There are not very many here. But yeah, that was pretty bad. I actually had that treated with, I went to see a dermatologist who gave me a medicine that I took. And then at the same time, I started taking women's Rogaine. And yeah, so I actually had two things that I started doing at the same time, which in a scientific sense is not so ideal because my hair did start growing back. Could be that it was just a glitch during menopause. Could be that one of these two things actually helped, but of course, I don't know which. And yeah, so anyway, if you are experiencing that, then go see a specialist and see if you can get some help with that. So mood swings are really, really common, and having poor energy levels and even depression and anxiety. So I definitely had depression during this time. And I, well, you know, chicken egg thing. I was going through, well, I had the depression and my relationship was not great. My marriage was not great. And I figured it probably had something to do with my marriage and tried to fix my marriage and, well, ended up getting divorced. So, yeah, I sometimes wonder whether the rate of divorce going up in middle age might have something to do with women also going through menopause, or it could just be that they married the wrong guys and it was time to call it quits. In my case, anyway, my ex and I are both 100% in agreement that we are better off apart. And yeah, but it was an interesting coincidence, maybe. Then brain fog is something. And what is brain fog? It's like you can't think straight. And that may also have something to do with the fact that a lot of people have sleep issues during perimenopause, menopause transition, even after menopause. And of course, if you have poor sleep, you're probably getting poor deep sleep. So your brain is going to be fuzzy otherwise. I remember I changed to a new job when I was in perimenopause, and it was a significant like jump up for me in responsibility. And I remember I had notebooks and I was writing absolutely everything down. I had this stack of like 12 notebooks, which was every single thing I was told, because my brain did not remember anything. It was very, very challenging to work with with that kind of brain. And some women notice facial hair appearing on their face, and even skin itchiness or a feeling of crawling skin. Can feel a loss of motivation, even muscle pain. Some people have tingling and pins and needles in their hands and feet. And low libido is another one that is very common. I experienced that before as well. So if you are experiencing any of these, it really is a good idea to get help from a specialist. And unfortunately, not all gynecologists are very well educated in menopause issues. So if you don't get help from the first one, then I encourage you to keep looking for somebody who can help you. Hormone replacement therapy helps a lot of people. And I'll say my personal experience with that was that, you know, I finally got on it, like post-menopause, a few years after menopause, and after I'd already gotten divorced and all that, and started feeling better like pretty much right away. It really, really helped. But what was interesting was that the hormone that I was using, it actually became unavailable for almost a year. And so I had to try other hormone replacement therapy solutions. Like I'm using a patch, which is like a sticker that I put on my abdomen. But then I tried like some creams and another sticker patch thing. And they all have slightly different amounts of the estrogen and progesterone in them. And I noticed real big differences in like my mood, depending on which one I tried. So if the first one doesn't agree with you, maybe try a different one, was my takeaway from that. I mean, I had one that, for example, really increased my libido, and oh my God, you know, it was fun between the sheets, but I was crying all the time, you know, so I was like, oh, I don't think I can be doing that. So I had to switch that one away, unfortunately. Anyway, moving on. So what's happening, you know, there is this storm of hormones going on in our body. Things are changing and our bodies are also aging. And one of the big things that, you know, if you've been listening to me for any amount of time, you know, I talk about that we are losing our muscles. We have a decline in muscle mass as we age. It's 3-8% per decade, and it speeds up around menopause. And it targets primarily the type 2 muscle fibers. And those are the ones that give us the nice muscle size, the strength, and the power. And if you want to learn more about muscle biology, then go to episode number 4. It's called Muscles in Midlife, A Quick Lesson in Muscle Biology. And there I go through this more. But when you lose these type 2 muscle fibers, when you're losing muscle in general, your basal metabolic rate decreases. So actually, our metabolism doesn't slow down as we age if we're able to keep our muscle mass the same. But since if you're not weight training, your muscle mass is declining, your basal metabolic rate will decrease as well. And if you want to learn more about that, listen to podcast number 7, where I go through total daily energy expenditure and all the aspects, including your basal metabolic rate. But so as we lose our muscles, not only does our metabolic rate decrease, but we're also slower and weaker. And this shows up in things like our grip strength. You know, you may not care about like, oh, do I have biceps showing or, you know, muscle definition or whatever, but you will care about it when you can't open jars anymore, when you have trouble carrying a suitcase, when you have trouble getting up off the sofa, when you got to hoist yourself into a taller bus or whatever, and you realize that it's getting harder. So those are the things you're not able to do. And weight training is really the only solution for slowing down and even reversing this loss of muscle. And the other thing that's happening to our bodies as we age is our bone density starts to decrease at an even faster rate as we go through perimenopause and menopause. So it goes from a rate of about 0.4% per year to 4.4% per year. So that is a huge increase in how our bones are like getting weaker. And as you may have heard, you know, for a woman who's 65 or older, if she falls, there's a 50% chance that she will never walk again. So there's an extreme risk of death or needing assisted living. And so you really, really need to be addressing skeletal muscle loss as we age. So resistance training has been shown to increase bone density even in postmenopausal women. Now, estrogen is our primary female hormone. And there are a few different versions of estrogen, E1, E2, E3, but the one that we're focusing on here is E2. And that is the one which helps us as far as keeping our muscles around, right? It's anabolic, so it lets us build. It promotes muscle growth. It promotes muscle strength by enabling our muscles to contract, okay? It promotes insulin sensitivity. It also regulates your hunger and satiety hormones. It helps control cortisol, which is our stress hormone. It can help in calcium absorption, which helps to keep your bones in good shape. And it also helps to stabilize our tendons and ligaments. So, I mean, all these amazing things that estrogen is doing to our body. And guess what? Estrogen, this E2 version of it, pretty much flatlines in menopause. So you can imagine when you get rid of all of those things that estrogen has been doing for us, we're kind of in trouble, right? So without it, you know, you're losing muscle faster. You can't generate as much power and force. And like I mentioned, this may not matter to you as far as like, oh, I want to be a power lifter or, you know, that you want to have big muscles, but it is going to matter to you when you can't get off the toilet seat, when you can't open the lid of a jar, when you can't lift your suitcase into the overhead compartment on the airplane, when you can't, you know, get on the bus. You also become more insulin resistant. Your hunger control is off. Your cortisol levels are higher. So your baseline stress levels are higher, your bones are getting weaker, and you're more prone to injury, right? And also, you know, this power and force is important for preventing those falls because it allows you to move quickly. It's also important for like how quickly you can cross the street. I mean, these are things you don't think about at this age, right? But soon, way too soon, they are going to matter, right? And strength training helps to reverse many of these things. And our body composition changes as we age. So when we hit the menopause transition, you may have noticed the meno belly, right? You start to gain weight around your midsection and your rate of muscle loss increases. And yeah, you look different and it feels really awful. You've got like a little bit of a muffin top over your pants. Nobody likes that. But resistance training actually stimulates, well, won't go into the details, but it causes a chain reaction in your body, which allows your body to actually make use of that visceral fat. It is not like spot reducing, like it's not like you're doing crunches and therefore your visceral fat goes away, but the strength training kicks off this effect in your body, which allows your body to use that visceral fat. So resistance training can counteract some of the consequences of the missing estrogen. So it can help you maintain and even build back your lean muscle. Of course, building back requires, you know, systematic weight training. And heavy resistance training gets your muscles contracting strongly again. And that's why like this low weights, high reps thing, it's not going to do the same thing. You know, when you have heavy resistance training, then you've got to contract harder. Your muscles need to contract harder to actually lift that weight. And it's been shown to even increase bone density post-menopause and also strengthen tendons and ligaments. So briefly, how that works is that your muscles are attached to your bones using tendons, right? And so when your muscle, its purpose in your body is to move your bones, or your skeletal muscle's purpose is to move your bones. So let's take the example of the bicep. It is making the forearm come closer to your upper arm, right? So it's bending your elbow. And your muscle has tendons at the ends of it, which attach it to the bone. So when the muscle contracts, it pulls on that tendon that's attached to it, and the tendon pulls on the bone that it is attached to. And when you have that heavy pulling, it signals to your body that, hey, I need to have a stronger tendon so it can withstand this kind of pulling. And then when your tendon's pulling on your bone gets the signal that, hey, I need to be stronger so I don't break when I'm like lifting this kind of load. And that is the trigger for strengthening the bones, the tendons, and the ligaments. So as I mentioned before, not all training with weights is effective. There is actually a science to building and maintaining muscle. And while classes like yoga and spinning and Pilates and circuit training, you know, you may be using some weights and they may feel hard, but they're really not the most effective, efficient way of working your muscles and signaling to your body that you need strength and power. So how do you actually get results? Like, what are the things that you need to do to signal to your body? And by the way, the further you get into this menopause transition, the more you'll have to do this in an optimized way to get results. You know, when you're younger, you know, in your 20s and 30s, you can do stuff and get results a lot more easily. I used to weight train when I was in college and after college, and I didn't train nearly as hard as I do now. And I was getting more results because I had estrogen helping me, and now I don't because I'm post-menopause, but I am getting results. It is completely possible. I am way stronger. I've noticed grip strength has increased noticeably. I can lift things and carry my car tires, all kinds of things. So it definitely is doable. How to actually get results is to follow a systematic weight training program at home or at the gym. You can train at home very effectively, but this kind of random haphazard stuff, you know, it's fun, it's entertaining. It is not really worth your time unless you just enjoy it. Of course, if you enjoy it, you enjoy it. But if you want to get results and keep your muscles strong and build them, it's going to be much better to do the following things. One is to apply progressive overload. And that means that as your muscles get stronger, you're pushing them a little bit harder. You're going to increase either how many reps you do or the amount of resistance you're using. You want to get close to failure. So it's actually those last five reps before you hit failure that are stimulating change. So make sure you're pushing yourself hard enough. Then stimulate those muscles twice a week. So that's pretty much the minimum. And a lot of times that's the optimum because you do need rest days, you know, for results. You need recovery time. So the fourth thing is 48 hours of recovery. Muscles are stimulated in your weight training session, and then they grow after that during the recovery time. Finally, prioritize protein because, like I say, trying to build muscles without protein is like trying to build a brick house without bricks, right? It's really not going to happen. So make sure that you're getting 0.7 to 1.0 grams per pound of body weight. That's about the ideal range for promoting muscle growth. Now, that is a good rule of thumb for people who are normal weight or fairly slender. If you're very overweight, then apply that to your ideal body weight because otherwise it's going to be like just an insane amount of protein. So to repeat those, to get results, you need to apply progressive overload, get close to failure, stimulate your muscles at least twice a week, have 48 hours of recovery between working the same muscle groups again, and prioritize protein. And of course, when I'm talking about stimulating the muscles twice a week, it's not like you just do one set twice a week. You'll need to do a few sets. But I think two workouts a week per like muscle group is great. So what I do, for example, is I stimulate my upper body twice a week and I stimulate my lower body twice a week. And if I'm having a really busy week, I have programmed my own program so that I have like option C in a way, which is a mix. So then I do upper body once a week, lower body once a week, and then a mixture of upper body and lower body during one training where I sacrifice some of my isolation exercises. So I won't do, for example, bicep curls and tricep extensions so that my weight training session doesn't end up being insanely long. In summary, aging brings with it a lot of negative consequences, and perimenopause and menopause do, like just in a physical sense, like it is changing our body in a significant way. But weight training really, in that sense, is the fountain of youth because it can halt or even reverse some of these changes. And I guess the main point here is that the sooner you get started, the better. Because it is only going to get harder as estrogen declines. So please do yourself a favor and get going. If you're not in perimenopause yet, great. Oh my God, get yourself strong. Get yourself to the point where you're like, yes, this is great. I can do everything I need to do. And then train maintenance. Of course, maybe the weight training bug bites you and then you just, you know, get more and more ambitious, and that's great. But ideally, you would go into perimenopause at the height of your strength, right? And then just work hard to maintain it. Kind of the worst case scenario is like me, who went in there not having strength trained in like 20 years in any significant way, and then having to make up for it in a menopause situation. So I'm hoping that I can save you all from that. So obviously, I'm going to suggest that you get started as soon as possible and with a real program. So, you know, skip the phase of going and doing free workouts on Instagram and trying to piece it all together yourself. Because as you can see, you know, you don't have a million years to figure this out. And it is somewhat complicated. I mean, I've had to do a lot of studying, learning, testing, all those things to figure it out myself. Cut out all that learning phase and get to the working by getting your hands on a program. Get yourself a coach if you can afford it, and get in the weight room or start at home. Either one works. If you're interested in working with me, I have the Strong for Summer program. It's an 8-week program. So basically, we would meet at the beginning of the program. I get to know you, what your goals are, kind of what you've done in the past, whether you've done a little bit of strength training, what kind of equipment you have, how much time you have to devote to this in a week. And then I'll go away and create a program just for you and send that to you. And you'll start weight training either in the weight room at home. And then we'll meet up every 2 weeks to see how your progress is going. So the idea is to give you help to get started weight training. And in the meanwhile, you know, if you have questions, I have a chat channel, so you can ask those questions. If you're interested in getting started with me, then definitely hit me up. But I really would recommend that you get a consistent program and then start doing it for many weeks on end or even months. Listen to podcast number 5, which talks more about the things you need to do to build muscle. And there's also number 3, which is tips on starting weight training in midlife. So yeah, lots of information here on the podcast to help get you started. And I really, really hope that this will inspire some people to get going, and also others that if you are feeling perimenopause symptoms or something you think might be perimenopause symptoms, that you'll go get help, because it can be pretty awful. I know from personal experience, and you know, it can be a long time of pretty awful. So it would be great if you can get some help to get you through the transition with a little less suffering. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you are enjoying the podcast, please hit the subscribe button to make sure you don't miss any of the episodes. And if you know somebody who could benefit from the information that I shared today, please share the podcast with them. I really want to get this information out so that I can help as many women out there as possible. Until next time, happy training.